Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Are you excited to be here?
Amen.
You know, with the things that are going on in the earth today, there's just something that seems to be stirring in our hearts that this is what we need to be about. This is where we need to be. This is where God is going to move and take us on further in the things that He has for us. And I hope that we are really looking forward to what God is going to do. God spoke to us in prayer this morning, as we were in prayer this morning, in prophecy. It was so encouraging. And we just really look forward to the things that the Lord would have for us. I'd like to say at the outset, for the last several years, I've not had my wife, Jan, with me. And this year, that's different. And I have so appreciated how all of you have been so kind to ask about her and to ask me to give her your greetings. Well, you can give them to her face-to-face yourself this week. And I certainly have appreciated that. I'd like to begin this morning with reading the 122nd Psalm. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. You know, the house of the Lord is wherever God's people are gathered together. And I know in my heart, and I know in your heart, you were glad when they said unto us together, let us go unto the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Oh, praise God. Would it be true that this city that God is building without hands, that is made up of people that He has chosen for this very purpose, to be so compacted together, not necessarily physically, but compacted together in the Spirit, in the unity of the Spirit. Let that be our expectation. Let that be our prayer. Let that be our desire this week, that we will flow together in the unity of the Spirit like never before. Whether the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. May our hearts be full of thanksgiving for the things the Lord has done for us. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Let us pray for the church. Let us pray for one another. Let us pray that this corporate body will grow and be knitted together as never before, that we may be able to take on the responsibility that God has ordained for us to take on. Peace, peace, peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. Let the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. In this week, and Lord, let it be forevermore. Because of the house of the Lord, our God, I will seek thy good. Praise the Lord. I would like for us to stand now, and we're going to sing a few songs. We will In a few moments, we will have the communion, and then we will take an offering for Sharon Schools. But let us begin this morning. It's sometimes a little hard to get the pump primed, but that's okay. But let us put aside our shyness. Let us put aside our whatever anxieties or things that might get in the way. And let us just enter in and worship the Lord. The Lord inhabits the praises of His people. And as we enter in and worship Him with all of our hearts, God will indwell us in a wonderful way. I'd like for us to sing this, "Since Jesus Came Into My Heart." I'd like to make one comment. When we get to verse 4, it says, "There's a light in the valley of death now for us." You know, as we sing that, I thought about saying, well, let's just skip that verse. But what I like to do is when we sing that fourth verse, let us sing it concerning our death to ourselves. The death to the works of the flesh and open to the life of Christ. And then we'll sing that with all of our heart. You know, I'm thankful that we have a home, that if we go before the Lord comes back, I'm thankful for that. And there is a place for us. But right here and right now, let's focus on life, the life of Christ here with us. All right.
What a wonderful change in my life has been brought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul, for which long I had sought since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Such a joy o'er my soul, like the sinful cross.
Praise the Lord. Not too shabby. Praise God. I'd like for us to turn to page 133 in the front. This is the time I must sing. 133. This is the time I must sing. This is the time. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
I have tasted of freedom. I can go where He's leading. Nor shackles can hold me no more. I have learned of my lesson, and I stand in His presence.
Thank you.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise your wonderful name. Glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, for He is good. Hallelujah. Praise Him, for He is worthy of our praise. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Praise your wonderful name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bring the sacrifice of praise. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifice. Do you know that part that says, lift Jesus high, lift Jesus high, lift Him high for the world to see, lift Him high. Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory to your wonderful name. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful to be in your presence. Lord, our hearts are so full. There's excitement in the natural, but there's also, Lord, a stirring deep within our hearts that things are beginning to come to a head. That the times are approaching a critical stage, Father. We feel it deep within us. The stirring is there. There seems to be, Lord, a desire in our hearts to be drawn together and to come together, Lord. To be prepared, Father, by your Spirit for that which you have called us for. Father, we think of the words that Paul spoke when he said, I press on and I seek to apprehend that for which I was apprehended. And Lord, that's a prayer of our hearts, Lord, that for which you have apprehended us, we desire to apprehend that very thing. Lord, we just thank you for your blessings to us. We thank you, Lord, for the daily goodness that you give us. Thank you, Lord, for the traveling mercies that have brought us safely together. And we pray, Lord, for those who are still coming, that you would keep them safe and bring them here, Lord, that we may join all together. Father, as we look forward to this week, we do so with great anticipation. Lord, we look for that which we have seen in a glass darkly, Lord, to become even more clear. But Lord, whether it's clear or whether it's not clear, let us know that the shepherd sees it clearly. And all we must do is to remain in him, to stay in him, to be connected to him, that life which is in Christ Jesus will just flow in an uninterrupted way, Lord, into our bodies, into our spirits, into our souls. Father, we pray your blessings now upon the remainder of this meeting as we partake of the communion, Father. We know that we participate in you. And Lord, we need that so much. We just ask your blessings now upon the remainder of our meeting. Your blessings, Father, upon all these people, Lord. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. If the brethren who are going to oversee the communion, if you'll go ahead and come. Thank you, musicians, so much. Appreciate that.
Before we have the communion, and we'll just give you a short teaching on the Lord's Supper. And we're so thankful that we have the opportunity of participating in the Lord's Supper, and from time to time it's good to review the instructions that we received since the beginning of this move of the Spirit on the partaking of the Lord's Supper, or it's commonly known as the communion table. And I'd like to just begin by reading in Matthew, beginning in the 26th chapter. This is Matthew 26, beginning in verse 26. Matthew 26, verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for the many, for the remission of sins." This new covenant is referred to in Jeremiah 31 and 33. And this is, I'll read it, what it says. Jeremiah 31, 33. This is the covenant that Jesus is talking about. "But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after these days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." And since the death and resurrection of Jesus, Jesus began a new era. And he has been writing on into our hearts, on our hearts, the laws of God. And as we follow by the moving of the Holy Spirit in our lives from day to day, God is helping us to walk in His way according to His covenant. Amen? And He's showing us, He's giving us that realization in our heart that we are His people. And God has called us in this way to walk with Him. So it's a remembrance of that covenant. But it goes on from there. And we just continue reading. "But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on, until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And then we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And this is the instructions that the Apostle Paul gave the church. Beginning in chapter 11, verse 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 23. "For I received from the Lord that which I deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" So we take the communion table, we participate in the communion table to remember the great sacrifice of the shedding of the blood of Jesus and the giving of his body for the remission of our sins so we can be free today. And the continuing verse 25, "In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant,'" again referring to the covenant that we read about in Jeremiah 31, 33. "'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup." And this, during the communion part of the service, it is a time to reflect on your own personal life. And if there's something in your life that you know is not pleasing to God, there's no better time than to confess it before him right in your seat, but by yourself. Just say, "Lord, you've been speaking to me about something. Please forgive me. I'm sorry." And then you participate by drinking the cup and eating the bread. Because there is power in the blood of Jesus. Brother Holt Sr. said this once when I remember being a very young man and him saying this at the front of the pulpit when he was talking about communion. He said that God was totally satisfied at the work of the cross of Calvary. And I've never forgot that. He is absolutely satisfied with the cross of Calvary and the work that that has been accomplished on the cross of Calvary. There is not one issue in your life that you can't bring to the cross and leave it there and let Jesus help you with it. Doesn't matter what it is. When we come to the cross and kneel before Him, God can help us. And so even as we take this communion table today, we are literally sitting at the feet of Jesus at the cross of Calvary, and that deliverance is there for us. But not only that, when we partake of the cross of Calvary, or the communion table, the bread that we eat and the cup that we drink of, we are participating in that power that raised Jesus from the dead. Just think of that for a moment. When Jesus died, they laid Him in the grave. They prepared His body and they put Him on that slab of stone, rolled the stone in front of the grave. And for 3 days He was there. He didn't breathe. His body was dead. But the power from the Almighty, the One who created everything in the universe, surged through that dead human body and rose Him out of the grave. And that same power is in the communion table today. All we need to do, saints of God, is believe it and participate in it. So if there's a sickness, an illness, a problem that you have in your life, you can ask Jesus in faith. You can say, Jesus, please, I really need a little of that power in my life to help me today. And He's here today to touch and to heal. I'll say another couple things about the communion. The bread that we have is unleavened bread, which means it has no yeast in it, because yeast represents sin. And Jesus never sinned. And it's scriptural. In case, do you want the reference? Here it is. Here's one of them anyways. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 14. These are good scriptures to underline if you ever need to go back and look at them again. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 14. This is speaking about Jesus. Seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Amen? For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. We are all weak. And we all have issues in our life where we feel unworthy or undone, or we just don't feel like we have the strength. Jesus sympathizes with our weaknesses. But was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. There is nothing that you have been tempted with that Jesus wasn't also tempted with. And yet He never sinned. So He is the perfect high priest. The only one that qualified to be the Son of God and go ahead of us to prepare the way. And when we partake of the communion, we take unleavened bread because they're bread that has no yeast in it. No sin in it. It's because it represents the body of Christ. And when we take of the cup, we use wine, not grape juice. And the reason we used wine is that the leaven, the impurities in grape juice, have been taken out through the process of distillation. And it's been purified, and it's perfectly without sin. And we use wine to represent the blood of Jesus. For the blood of Jesus was shed, the scripture says, for the remission of our sins. And we take it in remembrance of that blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary for each one of us as an individual. And we give thanks for it. And we take it in great reverence. Our communion service, the portion of our local services, we come before the Lord in great reverence, quietly contemplating our own lives and saying, Lord, help me, I need You. It's a time of prayer. And we sit quietly and we take the communion together. We pass the plate around. We break off a little bit of bread. We hold it in her right hand, and then we all participate together as one body. And then we, after that, we pray for the cup, and the elders pass the cups around and serve them, and we all take a sip of the red wine. And we remain in silence and quietly worshiping the Lord for the great work that was done on the cross of Calvary. In regards to who is qualified to take the communion, family, the mother and father are the ones that decide when a child is ready. It's their responsibility to teach about communion in their home, and when they feel one of their children are qualified, then they can participate with the family's approval. If you have never been in our services before, you're welcome to participate in the communion if you have given your heart to Jesus and accepted him as your personal Savior. Because we don't want to partake of the cup unworthily. And with that, I'd ask Brother Nat to come, and we will now participate in the Lord's Supper. And we'd ask that 14 deacons please come to help. And if there's anything else, Nat, you want to add...
Let's bow together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the living bread that came from heaven. We pray, Lord, as we partake and recommit ourselves to you, may that gentleness and meekness and humility of Jesus flow into our life and into our being, Lord. May, Lord, your word become alive. May, Lord, your presence flow through our lives and bring to us all the nature of Jesus that is what we need today. Bless each one that partakes. Let your deliverance and life flow in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us partake together.
This morning we give you thanks, dear Jesus, for the blood that you shed on the cross of Calvary for the remission of our sins.
Yes.
We thank you for these cups that represent what you did by willingly giving your life on the cross. And we accept today the salvation that you have offered to us. And we thank you for it. Because of the great work of the cross of Calvary. And we lay as your representatives today our hands on these cups, and we impart the blessing of the Almighty. And we ask, Lord, that for anyone that is here today that needs a touch in their body, even as they drink of this cup and have eaten of this bread, that that divine life will flow into their bodies and bring healing.
Yes.
And now we just bless these cups in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Yes, amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Is there anybody that has not been served? Please raise your hands.
We're going to take an offering now for Sharon Schools for the expenses of the camp. If you make out a check, please don't put it in an envelope. And if you have to write something on your check for your records, please just put donation on it.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, as you have been so faithful to provide our needs and far beyond, we pray now, Lord, that we will be faithful in returning that portion unto you, which you have instructed us to do. And Father, we pray that this gift will be blessed and multiplied so that your work can continue throughout the lands. Bless now the gift and the giver, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Irene?
You missed the boat again. The pockets aren't unsold.
What am I going to do? Now, do I have this right?
Sounds good. Ooh. I never come up here feeling ready. I always have butterflies in my stomach. I asked a veteran teacher one time about that. I said, you know, before I stand before a class of kids, I've always got some feeling in the pit of my stomach that I wish I didn't have. And he said a word of wisdom to me, I think, that day. He said, if you ever lose that, you're finished. You've lost it all. And so I'm taking that as a good thing. I often think, before I go out on the field somewhere, as I guess it was Moses that said to the Lord, if you won't go with me, don't send me up. And I feel the same way about walking up here. Lord, if you won't be with me, somehow see that I don't get here. I have a few things on my heart this morning that I'd like to try to express. Words always fail me to say the thing that's in my heart, but you do the best you can. When we sang, Since Jesus Came Into My Heart, one of the first songs we sang this morning, I thought, the day that you permit Jesus to come into your heart is the day that you are tapped into the vine. Mark Twain said that the two most important days in your life are the day that you were born and the day you find out why. You begin to find out why when you ask Jesus to come into your heart. Because that's why you were born. But that's a different subject that I really want to talk about this morning. But sometime I'd like to talk about that. I know that the assemblies around North Battleford have heard it. And I'll maybe intersperse some of that this morning. But if you want a title on what I would like to say or try to say this morning, it would be Abiding in the Vine. This seems to have taken on a new meaning for me in the last few weeks as I've contemplated it, and of course read the scriptures. And I want to begin with the scripture that speaks of that. It's found in John 15, and I'm going to read verses 1 to 8. I think this is from the New King James. I am the true or real vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. That is the vine grower, the gardener, the husbandman. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. Or another translation says, lifts up. And I would like to dwell on that a little further on. I'd like you to remember that other way of putting it, lifts up. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. Or the King James says, purges or cleanses, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide, that is dwell, stay, settle in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. For without me, just a minute now, losing my place here. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Let me tell you something. You might think that you're able to do a lot of things. And no doubt you can. But that which is last, that which is lasting, that which is spiritual, that which is of the permanent, is really what is important. If I could give you perhaps a silly little example. I spent, about 25 years in one school building. In those years when I was working there, when I walked into that building, they knew me. They saw me every day. 20 years have passed. Maybe more. I would walk into that school today and they would pay no attention to me. I would be nobody from nowhere. This is a guy who was known. This is a guy who had done something. Oh no, there's the guy that implemented that program. What program? What we do, I'm not saying that wasn't important, but it doesn't last. It is here today and it is gone tomorrow. But that which is in Christ, that which is accomplished through Christ, which I'd like to talk to you about this morning, that is of the permanent. That is good for time. And it is good for eternity, hallelujah. And we will only accomplish it, brothers and sisters, tapped right into the vine, the source of strength, the source of power, the source of wisdom, the source of all that is good. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast off or cut off as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them in the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, You will ask what you desire. Listen to this. If you abide in me. If you abide in me. You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. It's all about fruit. Maybe this has come to me kind of in the spring of the year because, you know, it's gardening season in Saskatchewan. We have a whole week that we can spend gardening in this season of ours. But it is such a beautiful analogy that is presented here in the Scriptures. You know, I can come up with analogies, and so can you, but when Jesus comes up with them, they are perfect. It just fits perfectly. And He uses gardening as that analogy. And what is the gardener looking for? All the nice, healthy-looking leaves, eh? Did you ever eat the leaves of a tomato plant? Or any other plant? Tell you something, never eat the leaves of a rhubarb plant. Because you might be in the hospital or worse. You, as a gardener, want the fruit. That's what you're ever watchful for. That's what you want to produce. And you want to give that plant every chance of producing abundant fruit. I will tell you what our Father, the gardener, is after is not something that is ornamental, not something that it just looks good, but it is good. It is fruit that is useful, praise God. And it can be produced in every one of our lives. I believe it with all of my heart that the Father can produce the fruit that He wants produced in your life and in mine. I don't know a lot about gardening, but I've lived with a gardener for soon 46 years, and a little bit rubs off. You gain a little knowledge. I am still, as I have told you, mainly the labor. And she's the gardener. The one that is ever watchful. You know, if you don't watch, if you're not careful to watch what's happening, there are going to be some very undesirable things that happen. The aphids come in and take over. Suck the juices right out of the branches. The cutworm comes below the ground and cuts the plant off. And so the gardener says, that plant is looking sick. Something is wrong. Digs around. Ah, there he is. He got one branch of the plant, but he didn't get it all. The plant will survive. Possibly. Finds the little critter. Here's what you do with that critter. Between this finger and that finger. You wash your hands after. Well, I don't do that because I hate that squishy sound in my... But the gardener doesn't mind. You can go out. As we had just recently an infestation of potato beetles. There are holes in the leaves. There should not be holes in the leaves of potato plants. There they are. They're kind of orangish red. And do they eat? They just eat and eat and eat. They lay their legs under the leaves, on the backside of the leaves. You got to get those if they're there. And the gardener goes through. Until every one of them. Now, if you've got 500 acres of potatoes, you've got to do something else. But if you've got 25 hills of potatoes, you can do it like I'm describing. The point is, the gardener is looking for what the problem is because she or he wants fruit, wants potatoes, wants tomatoes, wants whatever is growing on that plant, on those branches. And our Heavenly Father wants us to be rid of that which retards the fruit that He wants to see on the branches, which we are. Hallelujah! The task is one of careful oversight. Always watchful of what may be retarding the growth of each precious plant. As we examine this portion of Scripture more carefully, we will see what a tremendous analogy has been drawn between the natural and the spiritual. Jesus says that His Father is the gardener, or the one who has oversight of the plants growing in His garden. Jesus is the true or real. Jesus is a true or real vine. He is no counterfeit. This is truth. He said that I am truth. I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man cometh to the Father but by me. From the vine come the branches, which are tapped into the vine in such an intricate way that the life of the branches is complete in the vine. There's a completeness there. There's a place there of comfort. There's a place of knowing that they are in the right place because they're being nourished by the vine. What flows through the vine flows through the branches. What you find in the vine, you find in the branches. The strength, the health, and the nourishment that the branches need for their welfare and growth are resident in the vine. The whole purpose of this garden over which the Father is the gardener is to have branches that will eventually produce fruit. Just like the farmer or the gardener, he waits patiently for the precious fruit found in James 7. Patient waiting. I'm glad that my Heavenly Father is patient. He would have cast me aside long ago. But He didn't. And nor did He cast you aside because you're here. He is patient. He works on you. He watches you. You think you fool Him? Nobody knows. You can fool me. You don't fool Him. He knows. He's patient. He's loving. He's caring. He wants you to be a fruit producer. We'll get to what flows through this vine in a minute. Just give me time. Be patient. There is nourishment there for their welfare, for their growth. In order to produce fruit, the overseer may need to take action in which the branches, our flesh, will not find pleasure. The other day I watched Irene go out to her tomato plants, just clicking off part of the plant. Now, since I've lived with her for 46 years, I know what she's doing. An untrained eye might say, "Why do you do that? That could become a tomato." But you've just thrown it away. Well, she likes nice big tomatoes rather than a whole bunch of little tomatoes. So she just... I don't think the branches like it. But they've got no choice. The gardener has decided how that plant is going to produce good quality fruit in abundance. And so she does what is necessary to have that happen. And so our Father will work on you. We'll do a little tweaking here and a little tweaking there that your flesh may not like at all. But in the whole scheme of things, it is exactly what you need. It is exactly what I need. What do the Scriptures say? Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away or lifts up for purposes of promoting growth. Lifting up may be a preferable translation to taking away, since God brings into our lives that which will allow us to bear fruit in greater abundance. Going back to a natural sort of comparison, I have noticed that when a tomato plant gets too large and grows too tall, the gardener wants to lift it up. How does she lift it up? By saying, "Mervyn, go and get a taller stake and pound it into the ground right beside this plant. I want to lift it up. I want it to get more air. I want it to have more breathing space. Do you follow me?" She doesn't say, "That plant, I don't like the way it's growing. I think I'll just pull it out by the roots and throw it on the junk pile." Oh no. "I'll do everything I can that it might produce fruit." You see? Lifts it up. Rather than condemning, He lifts up. And rather than discarding, He perfects. rather than accepting the carnal mind as unchangeable, He gives the renewed mind. Rather than accepting the dross of the flesh, He purifies. Always on the positive side. Always working for the good. The enemy of our soul condemns, pushes down, wants to destroy, comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The Spirit of God does the very opposite. Hallelujah. I'm going to see if I can just if you'll just pardon me for a minute. Now how do I get... Irene, you're creating problems for me. I got it out, luckily. I have to take this off. The Scripture goes on to say, every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, or purges, or cleanses, that it may bear more fruit. We know that in gardening and in the Christian walk, cleansing is necessary from time to time, and we know that pruning is very important, is a very important part of fruit production. There are times when plants need to be cleansed of that which is an enemy. Aphids are a good example of that. Potato beetles are another good example of that. Somehow they've got to be cleansed of that which is retarding and destroying growth. Our God is a cleanser. We can participate in that cleansing through repentance. I don't see many heads nodding. From time to time, as was said this morning, our Savior will bring to our attention that which is retarding growth, that which needs to be eradicated, and by the power of His Spirit, we can do it. Hallelujah. Now, what flows through the vine? What can we partake of as part of the branches that is flowing through the vine? Well, let me give you some examples. You're probably way ahead of me, but I'll say it anyway. The fruit of the Spirit flows through the vine. We can be partakers of the fruit of the Spirit because they are all resident in the vine, which is Jesus Christ. The sad part is that once you cut yourself off from the vine, that is not available to you. It may be a counterfeit of it, or something of that nature, but it isn't the true gift of the Spirit, the true fruit of the Spirit that is flowing anywhere other than through the vine into the branches. You know what they are, but I'll just remind you. This is what flows through the vine. This is what Jesus possesses. This is what He makes readily available to us, being the branches tapped into the vine which He is. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, in other words, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And it says, against those things there is no law. Why would there need to be a law as it pertains to, or as it concerns, the fruit of the Spirit? Let me just read on. And they that are Christ's, if you like, they that are tapped into the vine, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. These are the things that God wants us to be rid of, because these are the very things that retard our growth, are they not? The affections and lusts of the flesh. We can look at the works of the flesh. The 25th verse says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we're tapped into the vine, let us walk there. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. What does He want to rid His garden of? The garden which you are, His planting. Adultery. Fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. In other words, this list could go on, but those are a few examples of the works of the flesh, or that which our gardener wants us to be completely free of, that we might show forth the fruit of the Spirit. Am I making any sense? What else flows through the vine? Let me tell you, what else? The gifts of the Spirit flow through the vine. You can operate a gift that you have had imparted to you because it is part of Christ. It is part of the vine. And you, being tapped in as a branch, have full access to those gifts that He has so graciously, so abundantly imparted to members of His body. You know what they are. But I'm going to remind you. Reminders are good. I heard Brother Smith say one time, there's value in repetition. Never forgot it. That's because I feel better when I repeat something, you see. Somebody has said that. Well, the day that we push to the back burner what God revealed at the very beginning of the move of the Spirit, which was that from time to time He would reveal gifts of the Spirit to members of the body of Christ through a presbytery of brethren that would go around from place to place and pray and prophesy over those that are ready. If we lose that, brothers and sisters, we have pretty well lost it all. It cannot be pushed to the back burner. It must always be before us. We must always be ready, as God would indicate, who would have gifts imparted. A word of wisdom is important in a particular circumstance. A word of knowledge is important as it flows from the Holy Spirit. The discerning of spirits you cannot do with your own mind, but you can do with the mind of Christ, and you sense something that you don't sense by your natural mind, but in the Spirit you sense something, and you yield to that sense that is coming to you because of the discerning power of the Holy Spirit. This mind of mine will get it wrong, but the Holy Spirit never gets it wrong. That flows through the mind. Wisdom flows through the mind. Knowledge flows through the mind. The gift of faith. Have you ever seen a mustard seed? If it was laying on that table, and I'm back here behind the pulpit, unless I knew it was there, I probably wouldn't see it. It is so small. Just a very small little seed. Yet the Scripture says, if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you'll say to that mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it shall be done. What faith is that? I submit to you that that's the faith of God. That is all that is needed when it is God's faith that's being exercised. Hallelujah. Yes, the gift of faith is resident in the body of Christ. It's imparted through the vine to the branches. Gifts of healing. Plural. I think it's the only one that shows up in a plural way. And there's a reason for that. Because there's a new anointing for every time that someone is prayed over for the gift, for the healing of one's body or whatever that problem might be. Gifts of healing are available in the body of Christ. Working of miracles. You know, God is still in the miracle business. If he wasn't, he wouldn't be gone. Maybe sometimes we'd like to see more miracles. I wonder if we don't see them every day and not recognize them. Isn't that possible? A miracle has happened, but we didn't see it. I think that sometimes miracles happen and God has just withheld that you were in some danger that you didn't even know you're in. Sometimes you know. And sometimes you say, boy, that was a close call. God was there. The Spirit of God was there. That's why. That's why you missed being wiped out. Yes, the gift, the working of miracles. The gift of prophecy. Wonderful thing. I know there's a gift that goes beyond just kind of the regular prophecy in a service, but you know, prophecy that flows in a service is the wonderful gift of God. I have been lifted coming into a service. I have been lifted by some small prophecy in terms of the number of words that someone said because it was for me. It may have been for somebody else, but I know it was for me. I needed that. Prophecy is of God. Prophecy flows through the vine and is available in the branches. I'm a bit of a broken record. You'll hear some of the same things out of me time and time again. But you forgive me, I think. Never think to yourself that your prophecy is too small. That it doesn't mean very much because I only have such a few words. I just remind you that the day Jesus fed the 5,000, He didn't have much to work with. He just takes something small and makes something big out of it. He just takes something small and meets the need of someone that is in that service. It's just that simple. Don't withhold it. Give it. You never know what God might have in mind. We know that there is prophecy available in the vine. The gift of diverse kinds of tongues and the gift of the interpretation of tongues. I've come pretty close to the end of my time. You know, brothers and sisters, I was really hoping that I could get this so polished up by maybe Wednesday that I might be able to give it. Well, you got what you got. Not much polish. Not much of greatness or anything like that. It's just pretty simple stuff. And you know, the Lord always seems to always talk to me about simple things. Because he knows I can't handle the complex things. My heart yearns this morning that this would become so real to us. That as we wake in the morning, as we lay our head to rest at night, It isn't so much, what do I have to do tomorrow? Or, what have I gotten done today? Rather, am I resting? Am I resting in the vine? Because I believe that there's a place there that takes care of our worries, that takes care of our cares, that takes care of our burdens, because He's the burden bearer. Father, oh Father, open our hearts this morning. Unstop our ears. Touch the inner recesses of our hearts. That there might be that deep, deep flow of Your anointing. That we would spend our time thinking about, meditating about, contemplating what it is that You are really after. Father, that fruit in abundance would begin to grow and to develop in the body of Christ. For Father, we know that when that happens, a member of the body can go and pick the fruit that is needed. Lord, we want to be those branches that others can partake of. Because if we're tapped into the vine, they are partaking of Christ. Oh Lord, help us to see Your greatness. Help us to see the pattern that you have set before us. Help us, Father, to walk in it. Help us to believe it with all of our hearts. Father, we know that the entering in is before us. And dear Lord, we know that you will bring us in, even as You brought Israel in so long ago. Yes, there will be obstacles. We know that. But You are greater. You are greater than all of the obstacles that could ever confront us. Because You are the great I Am. Father, we thank You for Your presence this morning. We pray Your abiding presence with us throughout the day and throughout the meetings that will follow. In Thy name we pray. Amen. Are there some announcements?